Good morning, White Plains family. It's good to see you. It's good to worship with you. Thank you for those who attended our church history celebration last Sunday. That was a good evening of remembering and celebrating God's faithfulness here to White Plains. And I know I really appreciated seeing so many of y'all stick around and just share personal stories with each other. It's fun to see a church that sticks around and hangs out together. Kids, it's good to see you. You know, school's starting this week, right? For most of you. Today, your parents and your grandparents and I, we're going to talk about some ways that we're going to make church a lot of fun for you as school starts back. So if you could do me a favor, on your way home from church, ask the adults who brought you what they learned today, okay? Can you do that? I bet you can. You guys are dismissed to going up to kids' church. It's good to always see you kids here at church. Hope you guys have fun. A fun morning upstairs. So as school starts back this week, I want you guys to know that we are putting a lot of energy and a lot of resources into restarting much of our kids' programming beginning next Sunday. You know, every church had to deal with COVID over the past couple of years as it hit, and I think like many churches, we sort of shut everything down and went online and tried to figure out what ministry would look like when we couldn't get together. And as COVID lingers and even still remains today, many churches are having to reevaluate and figure out what do we bring back and what do we sort of let stay away. And adding a season of searching for a senior pastor, White Plains has been programming for our kids at a very minimal level. And I arrived here as your senior pastor 5 months ago, and I quickly recognized this minimal level of kids programming. Now, I understood why it was that way, but I quickly felt that I needed to make changing this reality a priority as I began ministry here. But I didn't want to move too soon. I'm committed to leading change slowly. I want to listen to others and cast vision and lead by example. Many of you know that I spent many years, in student ministry in the Glasgow and Bowling Green area. Now, one thing I never told you because you never asked, but I never told you this, and I'm fixing to, and you may rethink a lot of things, but the first church that I served in, there's a story. I was part of a team of college students pouring into the lives of teenagers of that church, and I loved it. But for some reason, and I don't know why, I was given the additional responsibility to teach a Sunday school class of 5th and 6th graders. Now, I remember these kids. They were called the 56ers. That was their Sunday school class name. And this class quickly picked up on a quality that I have, and I've always had this. For some reason, God in His wisdom has given me the special ability to connect with kids by becoming a punching bag or a climb toy for kids to climb on. I still have this quality. In fact, if you have a kid in the preschool or elementary age demographic, it's likely they're going to punch me. It's likely they're going to try to climb on me, and if they haven't already. And they're probably going to do it right in front of you, and you're going to feel embarrassed. It's okay. It happens. But in this case, the 56er class, this entire class chose to climb on me. Now, there may have only been 5 or 6 kids in this class, but as they began to disregard the lesson that I was teaching in my personal space that I thought I had, they began to climb on me as a group climb toy, and they multiplied. There was 20 to 30 kids at the time climbing on me. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know how to get out of? I was definitely in one of those situations at that time. I was immature, unsupported, alone, and overwhelmed by an army of aggressive 5th and 6th graders. So you know what I did? I left. I just walked out. Somehow, God in His mercy gave me the strength to climb my way out of that pack of ravenous kids, and I made it to the door. I slipped out. I even left the building. I remember distinctly the sidewalk as I walked away and I left. Now, there was just a couple of minutes left of the class before the parents were going to pick the kids up. And I hope I remember this right. There was another adult in the room. At least that's the way I remember it now. If you were to find anyone from that church today, I don't know that they would know what would have happened or what happened that time, or they would even remember me. For all I know, that the teacher before me did the same thing, just got up and left them and never came back. I don't think it was a traumatic experience, but if you took me to that church building, I could definitely show you which room it was where it all went down. And, you know, as I think back about, and I realize that I abandoned, even just for a couple of minutes, the ministry that God had given me and was leading me into. You know, I couldn't articulate it that way, but that's what I did. I abandoned the ministry that God was leading me into, the kids, just for a moment. And as I look to the future here at White Plains, I never want that to happen here, as long as I am your senior pastor. And just to ease your conscience a little bit, I have had 20 years of successful student and kids ministry where I've never left anyone since that class in the late 90s. I love student ministry. I think it's essential. But I see kids ministry as the most important stage of life ministry a church can undertake. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think all stage of life ministry is important. But if a church misses the kids ministry stage, she misses the most important stage of spiritual development and gospel decisions that statistically happen. Student ministry used to be that stage. 10 to 15 years ago, there began a shift younger in gospel decisions and spiritual development. So this morning, I want us to look at, biblically, kids ministry. We will see that Jesus loves kids. As we look through a handful of verses this morning, I want us to center our attention on Jesus' words in Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. God, you are good. We thank you for your word. We thank you for children. We thank you for the blessing that kids in our church building, in our families, they are a gift from you. Lord, help us to look at your word and understand that Jesus loves kids and that we should also. Be with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are to disciple kids and love them like Jesus. How are we to love kids like Jesus? That's the question that's before us, and that's the question that you and I must answer as we focus our energy over the next couple of months to reestablish an exciting kids ministry here at White Plains. The church's ministry to kids, again, in my mind, is the most important stage of life ministry a church can undertake. If we don't reach kids, and the kids of, if we don't reach our kids and the kids in the community, then we won't have a student ministry. We won't have a young adult ministry, and there won't be even young families in our church. Now, it's not, we don't reach children as a feeder program for other ministries, but it never fails. When a church reaches kids, student ministries grow, young adults grow, and our church will have young families in our building. We must reach kids with the gospel because Jesus loves kids. To love kids like Jesus, we must create moments and environments at home and at church that God uses to draw kids to himself. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Jesus loves kids. We must too. We must love them as well. If we're to follow in Jesus' footsteps, we must love kids too. As we create moments and environments, we must be aware and careful of what we teach them, though. Kids come to Jesus when we share the gospel with them. It's the only way. The gospel is the only way kids come to Jesus. We must share the gospel with kids. We must do this in our homes And we must do this in our church building. We must share the gospel with our kids. The other thing is, don't hinder kids with extra works. Share the truth of God's grace with them. The gospel alone is what God uses to save kids and adults. We must never add to the gospel in an attempt to modify behavior before coming to God, or in an attempt to share the gospel. It's the gospel alone. God meets us right where we are. God meets our kids right where they are. The gospel shows us that God loves us, even in our brokenness, and that applies to kids. He has made a way for us. He has made a way, the way for us to be made right with Him, and He's made that known to us. And He will use people like you and me to share that with kids. And He will save some. Our role as Christian adults and teenagers is to help kids apply the gospel to their lives. Now, it starts with understanding that we're sinners and that they're sinners, and we need a rescuer. But the Christian life continues in the gospel as we learn how to apply the truth of God's grace to every aspect of our lives. As we attempt to grow in that knowledge, we must share that with the kids in our homes and in our churches. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to kids too. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to kids too. In fact, Jesus holds up the faith of kids as something you and I, as adults, should strive for. You know, we may never fully understand why God does some things and why He doesn't do other things. Kids, for the most part, are okay with that. If you've ever been around a genuine faith of a child, no doubt you have seen their wonder and amazement at the things of God, and their strong faith in just accepting that God is completely other than we are. Now, we may not be able to explain everything, but kids, for the most part, accept that and are a model of faith for us as adults. As we consider helping kids apply the gospel to their lives, there are two primary places that we do this. We do this at home, and we do this at church. Let me speak briefly about discipling kids at home. If you don't have kids at home, you can pray for those of us who do, because it's work. It's difficult. It's not easy, but it's doable. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Parents, lovingly and patiently teach your kids biblical truth and spiritual disciplines. I've given you a long list of spiritual disciplines that you could teach them. Many of them center around God's Word. They're in your notes there. Hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, and applying God's Word. The list continues, though. Prayer, worship, evangelism, serving, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, and learning. Now, it might seem overwhelming if this is the list you're supposed to teach. You don't worry about doing all of this well, especially at the very beginning. I want to give you three ways to begin to practice these spiritual disciplines with your kids. First, read the Bible to your kids and have them read it back to you if they're able. Teach your kids to pray and allow them the opportunity to pray with you and the family. And then third, find ways to serve with your kids at church. Matt Chandler has written a book called Family Discipleship, and I would highly recommend this to you if you're serious about discipling your kids or grandkids. He makes family discipleship seem attainable by focusing on three things. One is creating time, intentional time built into the rhythm of a family's life for the purpose of thinking and living out the gospel. The second thing is capturing moments, capturing opportunities in the course of everyday life for the purpose of gospel-centered conversations. And the third is marking milestones, occasions to celebrate and commemorate significant spiritual milestones of God's work in the life of a family or a kid. In Deuteronomy 6, we read, "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Discipling kids at home must be intentional and centered around the Bible. We must be intentional about teaching our kids. For many of us, it's hard and difficult to find time to talk about spiritual matters, isn't it? Our careers and our activities keep us busy, moving around, bouncing around all around town. But that's okay. I'm not saying be less busy. I'm encouraging you to be intentional with your time. Realize that teaching your kids about the Bible is primarily a parent's or a grandparent's responsibility. Deuteronomy tells us that time running around town can be used to teach them the Bible. Turn the radio off and talk about the Bible. We do this with other things, don't we? For those of us who have kids active in sports and music, we find ways to help them move along in their activities. I love watching Ruby practice and play soccer. It's fun. I've been her coach up until this season. Now that she's in the middle school team, I get to sit and watch. So this is a new season for our lives. But I love the conversations we have on the way home about what I saw her do really well and things that she felt she was doing good. I celebrate with her as she gets better and makes goals and reaches those goals. I ask her about things that she's struggling with or things that she thinks she can improve on. I do this with Lily also. I love seeing her lead worship. She's very talented with music and worship, and I find ways to talk about what I see her do well. And I find ways to ask her what she thinks she can get better with as she continues to pursue her passion of leading worship. I love those conversations we have after she leads. Conversations about what she thinks she did well. I celebrate with her as she stretches herself to grow in those endeavors. And I ask her about things that she might be struggling with musically. But I'll be honest, I don't know much about soccer. I know even less about worship and leading music. But I've spent the effort to learn soccer and learn music because I love my daughters. And we must do this with our spiritual matters too. Even if we feel like we don't know enough about Scripture, if we're afraid our kids are going to ask us a hard question that we don't know the answer to, we need to be intentional and teach our kids the Bible. Now, whether or not you have kids at home, we have kids here. A whole bunch of them just went upstairs. And we are collectively responsible for our kids here at church. In Isaiah, we read, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." In 3 John, verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." The gospel brings peace and joy. Now, John is probably not speaking about kids, even though he uses the term children, but he's speaking of young believers in the faith. The point, though, holds true. Those new to their faith bring joy to their leaders and to their church as they walk in the truth they've been taught. When young believers apply Scripture to their lives, churches must lovingly and intentionally disciple kids. We have a responsibility to teach kids Scripture as a church, and we must do this lovingly and intentionally. A lot of this comes down to curriculum for a church, and not all curriculum is created equal. As a church, we must be intentional in what we're teaching our kids, and we must understand why we're teaching them in this way. I hinted last week at our church history celebration that we were going to have a curriculum change soon. So let me explain a little bit about where we're headed as a church in discipling our kids while they're here in our building. Beginning in September, we will officially shift to a Lifeway curriculum called the Gospel Project. There are so many things that I'm excited about with this curriculum. Let me show you a short Bible study lesson from the Gospel Project so you can see some things I'm excited about.
King David loved God. He wrote a psalm or song to celebrate how great God is. This is what he wrote. The heavens show us the glory of God, how great he is. When we look up into the sky, we can see what God created. Every day and every night, what we see in the heavens continues to tell us about God. The heavens we see don't tell us about God with words, but the message that they show us about God is seen by all the people of the world.
We can see God's glory in the movement of the sun. It is like an athlete running a course. It rises in the same place every day and then sets at the end of the day in another place. Everyone and everything can feel its heat.
David continued, "The Lord's instruction is perfect. It renews life. What God says is trustworthy. The Lord's instructions make our hearts glad and help us see clearly." When people respond in awe and love of God, it is pure and it lasts forever. Instructions from the Lord are reliable and righteous. They are more desirable than pure gold, and they are sweeter than fresh honey. In addition, God's instructions warn his servants. When they are kept, there is great reward.
No one can keep track of all his sins. Sometimes we don't even realize we are sinning when we disobey God. God, clean up our hidden flaws. Keep your servant from choosing to sin too, and don't let sin be in control. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from my rebellion against you. I want everything I think or say to be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
All of creation displays the glory of God, how great he is, although not perfectly. You see, the perfect revelation of God's glory is found in Jesus, who came to show us exactly what God is like. Because Jesus is God, he is the perfect display of God's glory.
There are so many things I'm excited about with this curriculum. There's a focus on theology applied instead of behavior modification for Christians. In this curriculum, God is the main character. This curriculum helps connect the dots of the entire biblical story into one big God story. You saw at the very end with the oval part, every lesson has the gospel presented in a way that the kids can understand. Our preschoolers, our kids, and our students will all get the same passage every Sunday. The entire Bible and the Gospel Project is presented in a three-year cycle. And it's constantly being updated. The Gospel Project is 10 years old, and this is the fourth cycle of content. There's a biblical foundation that our kids are going to get as they go through this Gospel Project. The other thing is each lesson will incorporate something that they have called the 99 Essential Doctrines. And so not only do they have a biblical foundation as we teach the kids here, they're going to have a theological foundation. But we're going to need your help as we shift to this new Sunday school curriculum. Starting next week, we're going to add at least one more elementary class. We need teachers to help teach. I would love to see our church family rally around our kids' Sunday school hour as a focal ministry here at White Plains. This also means for our families that have young kids, I'm going to ask you to prioritize our kids' Sunday school hour by having your kids here to learn the gospel and to help them understand that God loves them. That's at 9 o'clock, in case you didn't know. I am going to help with this by starting an adult class that will also meet upstairs starting next week. We're going to be going through the adult version of the Gospel Project. So not only will all our kids from the nursery to the high school go through the Gospel Project at the same level, the adults in my Sunday school class will also have the same passage, each taught at different age ranges, but it's the same passage. This will help in having those conversations during the week and at home and in the car about the Bible. Now, of course, we have existing Sunday school classes for adults, and you're more than happy to join those if they're a better fit for you. Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. will be our primary Bible teaching time for our kids. Kids Church will still happen, and it will still support what our kids are learning in Sunday school. I can't wait to see what God does through our kids' Sunday school hour in the coming weeks and the months here at White Plains. Will you join us in volunteering to help teach and having your kids here for Sunday school? I'm also very excited about our Wednesday night program. We call it family. We're going to call it family night. Now, even though we're calling this family night, I want you to know that this is designed to be fun for all ages, adults too. So let me give you a little bit of a rundown. From 5 to 5:45, we're going to bring back our Wednesday night meal, and we're going to have pizza, $2 a slice with water and chips. Then we're going to have our student ministry lead us in worship collectively, our whole church, with student ministry-led worship from about 6 to 6:15. Then the students will leave and do their thing, which will also be gospel project related. At 6:15 to 6:30, the kids and the adults will remain in here, and we're going to go through a Bible survey. We'll take one book of the Bible and talk about God's overarching storyline through it all. And then from 6:30 to 7:15, we're going to have family activities that we can do together and an adult discussion group. Family activities are going to include things like adults and kids cooking together, doing crafts together, family game activities. We're going to create a space for kids to teach adults about Minecraft and Roblox and how to build and play in those things. We're going to have a shaving cream pie fight here soon at the end of the month. We had a foam machine that we had for VBS that we weren't able to use because of weather. We're going to have a foam party one night this fall. The adult discussion group will be for those who may not be excited about getting pies thrown in their face. We'll talk about Exodus that night or something, but we want to have space for everyone. I'm hoping that word gets out around town about how much fun our families and our kids are having together during family night. Will you join us, no matter your age, for family night starting next week? Not this week, but next week. Jesus loves kids. We must teach Scripture to our kids at home and here at church. But we also have the Great Commission, don't we? This too falls on each one of us, whether or not we have kids at home. In Matthew, we can read the Great Commission, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We are to make disciples of kids by sharing the gospel with them, baptizing them, and teaching them. Again, it's my hope that family night is so exciting and fun for our kids that they will want to bring their unchurched friends with them. It is my hope that our kids and parents and families are having so much fun learning about God and learning how much Jesus loves them that parents will be encouraged to drive around town and pick up cousins and friends and bring them with them. We will learn Scripture here. We will talk about the gospel. That's my promise to you. This place must be about that. But we also must take it into our community. Teaching kids starts at home. It continues at church. And we must take it to the community. There are some kids who may never be in a position to enter our building. The gospel is still for them. We must strengthen our kids and our families and our adults to be confident to take the gospel to the kids and families in our community. This is where our local outreach strategy develops. Now, I'll be honest, it's not fully formed yet. I'm still listening and learning and understanding what our church values when it comes to local outreach. But I do know as part of our strategy, we are focused on loving the community through our school system. But the specifics are still being formed and prayed over. But we don't necessarily need a fully formed outreach strategy to share the gospel. We must not overlook kids in our outreach. Jesus loves kids. Kids are part of all nations. As we live in our community, we must be aware of the spiritual needs of kids in our community. Proverbs 22 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." If there is the way a child should go, then there's probably many ways a child should not go. We as Christian adults must lead kids in the right way. We don't force them. We don't coerce them. We don't bribe them. We lead them into the right way. We love them, and we train them in the way they should go. As we disciple the kids in our community, we must start with the gospel. And then we invite them with their families into the community and fellowship of the church. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So how should we respond this morning? I would say there's three things that we can do. We can pray. We can pursue. And we can volunteer. As your pastor, I want you to know that we as a church and staff will do everything we can so that you're not immature, unsupported, alone, and overwhelmed like I was when I first began teaching those 56ers. As the worship team comes back up, consider in what ways you might be able to volunteer to help disciple kids here at White Plains. We will absolutely need your help to love our kids. Think about kids you can pursue to disciple and encourage. Maybe the kids are in your home, or maybe they're down the street or on a sports team. We can all pray for our kids and the kids in the community. In fact, we're going to do that in a very big way tonight with a back-to-school prayer walk. But let's not just pray for them tonight. Let's pray for our kids constantly. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's pray. God, you are good. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the responsibility you've given us with the lives of kids in our lives and in our church and in our community. Help us to love them like you do. Help us to see kids as eternally significant. Help us to find ways to engage them in conversation and point them to the truth that's found in your word. You are so good. Help us to respond to you by praying for kids, by pursuing them, and serving. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.